Societies have varying degrees of respect for tradition. Nations have traditions. We have our flag. We have various monuments and various holidays that remind us of our past, things in our tradition. If you tour Washington, D.C., you have a study, basically, in the traditions of our country. Families have traditions. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. We have various routines that we enjoy going through together. In the early days of our marriage, we didn't have a television set. And that created a problem for us around the time of the Michigan-Ohio State game. So we had a tradition in our family. Every year, we would go and rent a television for that weekend. And the kids all looked forward to having a TV in the house for a weekend. It was a tradition that we enjoyed. Families have traditions, and religions have traditions. Traditions regarding morals, regarding worship, regarding the organization of the church, and so on. Some people value tradition more highly than other people. Some people don't like traditions to change. They want to continue the way things were done in the past. The old ways are tried and true. And some churches will actually defend their practices on the grounds that this is the way we've always done it, or we've done it this way for years. And that to them is good enough reason to continue to do it. But other people have little respect for tradition. Some openly oppose traditional ways. They think those things are old-fashioned, they're out of date. They want things that are new. And to them, new is good. New represents progress. And sometimes they reject the practice just because they say, well, that's just a tradition. Churches of Christ tend to oppose tradition as evidence for our practice. But the truth is, we have traditions too. Is that good or is that bad? Sometimes members of the church become so opposed to traditions that they demand change just for the sake of change. Is change always good? Are the old ways always good? Are the old ways always bad? What I want us to do in our study together this morning and continuing this evening, I want us to consider what the Bible says about tradition. What is tradition? Should we follow tradition as authority for our religious practices? While Karen and I were on vacation recently, we attended a congregation, and the preacher preached on this subject and reminded me that this is something that I've been wanting for some time to study with you about. And one of the things that I want to point out as we go through these studies is that tradition is really just another concept or another way of talking about authority. When we talk about tradition, we're talking about authority. When we understand Bible principles of authority, then we'll understand the proper approach to tradition. When we understand about teaching about tradition, we'll see that the same things are true of all Bible authority. We talk a lot about authority in the Lord's church, and rightly so. And we tend to teach the principles of authority, but I think sometimes we disconnect that in our minds from tradition. We ought to see, and I hope we will before the studies are over, that whatever you can say, basically everything you can say about authority, you can say the same thing about tradition, because tradition is authority. So let's look at what the Bible says about tradition, and notice how it relates to authority in general. This morning we'll talk about specifically the difference between divine authority, divine tradition, and human authority, human tradition. First of all, divine tradition, divine authority. Let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk about human authority. Divine authority, divine tradition, is authority that's revealed from God, and therefore we ought to respect it. Divine authority, first of all, comes from God. That is, God is our spiritual Lord, our master, our ruler. He rules over the universe, and as such, He is the source of all true authority in religion. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 and 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 and 12 describes God's authority in connection to the universe. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory. The victory and the majesty for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. So you see, God is head over all. God reigns over all. Why? Because everything belongs to Him. Everything in the heavens and the earth belong to God because He made it. Therefore, it all is His and He has authority over it. The ultimate authority in the universe then belongs to God. In Acts 17 and verse 24, Paul made the same point when he said God made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth. So God is Lord. The word Lord means master or ruler. God is the Lord of heaven and earth because He made the earth and everything that's in the earth. And so only God possesses the ultimate authority in the universe. He's in charge of it because it belongs to Him, because He made it. But now this authority He expresses through His Son, or He exercises through Jesus Christ today. As the Son of God, Jesus is the Lord of all. He has the power to reveal the will of God for us today. Look in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Why should people be baptized? Because Jesus says so. And of course, He tells us more about that, but the basis of the reason why we ought to obey that is because the Lord teaches it, and the Lord has authority. And it says that we should obey all the commands of God. Why? Why should we obey Jesus' commands? Because He has all authority. So Jesus is the one through whom God speaks today and expresses His will. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23, Jesus is above all power and all might and dominion, and specifically, He is the head over all things to the church. So the reason that we do what Jesus says is because He has authority. Divine authority. And that's why Luke 6:46 tells us that if Jesus is Lord, then we need to do what He says. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say?" Ultimate authority in religion resides in God, and that authority is expressed or exercised today through Jesus Christ. But Jesus has seen to it, through the Holy Spirit, guiding inspired men, to put that teaching, that religious authority, in the Bible, the Scriptures. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 37, Paul says this about what he wrote. He says, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." So you see, religious authority resides in God. He expresses it, exercises it today through Christ. But Christ guided the apostles through the Holy Spirit to write those commandments in the Bible. So the commandments of the Lord are now written for us in the Word of God. And that's why 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us all Scripture is inspired by God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect or complete, completely equipped for every good work. So the Scriptures are the means by which God reveals His authority. It's written down for us in written form. It is a perfect and complete guide. It tells us everything we need to know, every good work, everything we need to know to please God. It's inspired by God. It tells us how to live a godly life, how to receive eternal life. And so we don't need any other religious standard besides the Bible. The Bible is all that we need. It provides us to every good work. It reveals all truth. And because it is a complete and perfect revelation of the will of God, it's all the authority that we need in religion. So we have divine authority. And most of what I've said, members of the church have heard, I hope, many times before, and I hope you hear it many more times as the world stands, the concept of authority from God through Christ revealed in the Scripture. Now let's talk about tradition. Divine tradition. And see the connection between divine tradition and divine authority. tradition in the Bible does not mean exactly what a lot of people think today. If you look up the word tradition in a modern dictionary, like mine, it will say something like this. The handing down of statements, beliefs, from generation to generation. So tradition is ideas and beliefs that have come to us from the past. In religion, the dictionary says, it especially refers to teachings handed down from past generations, but not written in the Bible. Huh? So in many people's concept of tradition, tradition is teachings we've gotten from people in the past other than what we have in the Bible. But that's not the way the Bible uses the word tradition. This is another example of a word that people use differently from the way the Bible uses it. Now, we see the Bible does talk about tradition that's different from the Bible, but it also talks about tradition that's found in the Bible. And that's what we want to talk about first, divine tradition. This word, as used in the Bible, is defined. Here's one Bible dictionary definition of it. Tradition is a giving over, which is done by word of mouth or in writing, by instruction, narrative, precept, etc. Did you see that? Tradition is just a teaching that's been given to us, that's been delivered to us. It doesn't say from whom or how. It isn't necessarily something that's been handed down for generations. It's just a teaching that's been delivered. In fact, it's very, and we're going, one of the points we're going to make is it's closely related to the word for delivery. The word deliver, at least one Bible word for deliver, is just the verb form of the word for tradition. So a tradition is simply a teaching, a practice that has been delivered to us. It is not in the Bible, it is not inherent in that idea that it came down from people in the past. Now notice what the Bible says then about divine tradition. That is, teaching handed to us from God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 and 2. Imitate me, Paul says, just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions as I delivered them to you. Now, are these traditions bad? Are these traditions something to be opposed? Paul said, I praise you that you're keeping the traditions that I delivered to you. So Paul was one of these inspired writers we talk about when we talk about authority, guided by the Holy Spirit to deliver the Word of God. But what he delivered is here called traditions, you see. It is a teaching handed over, or he said delivered to you. God's teachings delivered to us are traditions in the biblical way of looking at the language. Now we need to follow those traditions, he says, to the extent they come from Christ. And Paul praised them for that. Now look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So here we're told that we should stand fast and hold the traditions that were taught. Now, if you look in verse 14, you see the traditions that he's talking about. It's the gospel. So this gospel message, this is tradition. And we not reject tradition, but hold it fast. Stand fast in it. When the inspired men recorded the truth in the scripture, divine authority, they were revealing tradition. Notice he says, by word of mouth or in writing. You see, when they spoke, when the apostles spoke, when they were alive and inspired men were being directly guided by the Holy Spirit and they spoke the message, that was tradition because it was a message delivered from God. They also wrote it down. Now, we don't have inspired men today. We don't have any apostles to lay hands on people. So the tradition of God comes to us today in the written word. This is divine tradition. It was tradition the moment it was given. And it's still tradition today. The tradition of God. And we need to stand fast and hold it. In fact, if you look at chapter 3 now of verse 6, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6, But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Tradition is so important, divine tradition is so important to Christians, that those who don't follow it should be withdrawn from, because they're walking disorderly. But notice what tradition is he talking about. He's talking about the tradition that we receive from inspired men. Divine tradition. So when you think about divine tradition, you're talking about the message that God revealed. Now, to us today, that tradition is old. It's come down to us from the past almost 2,000 years ago. So Christians believe in tradition. We are traditional. As long as you're talking about divine tradition. If you say, I reject tradition, anything old is bad. This message is 2,000 years old. Does that make it bad? Should we reject everything simply because it's old? If so, we reject everything the gospel stands for. It's been handed down to us for almost 2,000 years. So it is tradition. But it was tradition when it was given, because it came from God. So Christians believe in tradition. Divine tradition. The message revealed from God. Now let's talk a little bit about this word deliver. I mentioned earlier that the word, the verb form of deliver is a closely related word to the word for tradition. And the word deliver is used in lots of different ways in the Bible, like it is today. Lots of different things can be delivered. But it's used in a number of verses to refer to the delivery of divine teaching. Therefore, it is tradition in that sense. It is that message that God delivered or revealed for us to follow. So again, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 2, Paul said, I praise you that you keep the traditions as I delivered to you. That word deliver is the verb form of tradition. The traditions that I gave to you by tradition, you see. Now look at chapter 11 and verse 23 of 1 Corinthians. Paul said regarding the Lord's Supper, he said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord's Supper is a tradition. It is delivered to us. God's people have been doing it for almost 2,000 years now. Should we reject it for that reason? So we say, we don't believe in tradition in the Lord's church. Well, we've been doing the Lord's Supper. God's people have been doing the same thing every first day of the week for almost 2,000 years. Shall we reject it? Say, we're not going to do that anymore because that's tradition. No, it is divine tradition. It is tradition revealed by God, handed down to us in the inspired word. And we respect it because it is divine tradition. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the first four verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Listen, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is what Paul delivered. Now that word deliver, again, is the verb form of tradition. I delivered this tradition to you. What was the tradition that he delivered? It was the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That gospel message, that belief, that truth has been handed down now to us almost 2,000 years later. It is a tradition. It was a tradition when it was given. Handed down from God. Should we reject it because it's tradition? No. Should we reject it because it's old? No. It's right because it's divine. Because it's the message of God. That's why it's right. Or look at Jude, verse 3. Jude, verse 3. A passage again that most of us, I hope, are familiar with. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That word deliver again, is the verb form of tradition. What should we do with tradition? Should we reject it? Tradition is bad. Tradition is old. We need things progressive. We need things that are new. The passage says, earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered. Divine tradition must never be rejected. Divine tradition, we must contend for it. We must hold it fast. It was once for all delivered. It's not going to be delivered again. We will receive no new truths. There have been no new religious truths revealed since the first century. All religious truth is old to us today. What must we do with it? Contend for it. Defend it. Preach it. Teach it. Believe it. Practice it. So tradition is simply teaching that's been delivered. Divine tradition is teaching that originated with God and was delivered for us for our guidance to inspired men. Rather than opposing it, we need to obey it. It is essential to our salvation. So, hopefully, you see the connection then between divine tradition and divine authority. Divine authority simply refers to that message that God has revealed to us, which in these verses we've been reading is called tradition. And as such, everything that we can talk about, all the principles about divine authority apply to tradition. Because divine tradition is simply God's authority revealed to us today in the Scripture. Now let's talk about human tradition and human authority. These originate with men and should not be followed when they differ from divine authority. Let's start with human authority. We talked about divine authority and divine tradition. Let's talk about human authority, then we'll talk about human tradition. Human authority. Often people in religion participate in practices and teach doctrines that are not found in the Bible, but some man made them up. Somewhere along the line, somebody had the idea to do it. They're different from what God says in His Word. But people appeal to human authorities as reason to practice those things. They sometimes think anything's okay unless the Bible expressly forbids it. So they'll take some practice that men have authorized, men have invented, men have come up with, and it's not, as long as they can't find a passage that expressly says not to do it, they think it's okay. But we know from the Word of God that human authority has no power in spiritual matters. And when it's different from God's Word, we need to reject it. Look in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, is not in man who walks, to direct his own steps. So man cannot be authority in religion. Man cannot invent the ways to live his life because we are not smart enough. We don't think like God thinks. Therefore, we can't know the right way to live our lives. God has to reveal it to us. We need divine authority to tell us how to live our lives. And knowing that, God then gave us this complete revelation, every good work in writing to guide us. And then he said, as we'll see in the next few verses, don't follow anything different from that. Don't follow anything different because you can't make up things that are pleasing to God. He gave you all that's pleasing to him. So look in Galatians chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I marvel. You are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. So here you see the problem. We have the gospel. We have divine authority, divine tradition, the Word of God revealed for us in the Bible. The problem comes when people teach differently, when they teach things that are other than what the gospel says, when men, human authority, men make up things that are not what God said in His Word. That teaching, the passage says, the person who teaches it is accursed. Or in 2 John, verse 9, as we studied not long ago in the Wednesday night class, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has the Father and the Son. So here's the problem with human authority. The problem with human authority, things that men make up, different from what God said, is they are not in agreement with divine authority. Divine authority is all that is acceptable because God is the ruler. You see, we've learned that. So now when we follow what men say that's different from what God says we don't have God anymore. We don't have a relationship with Him. If we want to have a relationship with God, we must abide in the doctrine of Christ, what He has revealed for us in the Scriptures. And that's why, then, as we come to the last book and the end of the last book of the New Testament, chapter 22 and verse 18 of Revelation, John by inspiration says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life, from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." We must not add to it. We must not take from it. Why? Because this is divine authority. We have no right by human wisdom, by human authority, to change what God said. So we see now, hopefully, the difference between divine authority and human authority. But remember, divine tradition is just another way of talking about divine authority. It is that message which God delivered to us to follow. Now, if we understand that human authority is teachings that men make up different from what God said, now let's talk about human tradition. Human tradition, the problem here is, just as people follow other human authority besides the Bible, they sometimes follow human tradition as authority for their teachings, even when it differs from the Word of God. Jews have done that traditionally for many years. That's one of the main problems that Jesus talked about to these Jews in the New Testament. And Jews still do it today. Have you ever seen the movie Fiddler on the Roof? This concept is memorialized in song. Repeatedly, the man is asked, "Well, why do we do this in religion? Why do we do that?" And the answer is never book, chapter, and verse in God's Word. The answer is always tradition. That's the reason. Why do we do this? Tradition. That's all the reason we need. You see, that was their authority. But the tradition, often as not, was not divine tradition. It was man's tradition. Traditions that men had made up over the years. The Catholic Church binds this as a matter of doctrine, and you see a quote in the sheet that I gave you, from the Catholic Catechism. Do we get from the Bible alone all our knowledge and certainty of what God has told us? No. There is also sacred tradition. What is tradition? Now listen, this is their word, their definition. No, not God's definition, but theirs. The Word of God handed on to us by the apostles in their preaching and by their successors in the church to the present day. Do you have to believe in tradition? Yes. We are obliged to accept all the traditions, truths rather, contained in the Bible and tradition. You see that? So in their view, tradition is teachings not found in the Bible. But you still have to obey it. Now they say it came from the apostles, although they can't prove it. And in fact, if you read their books, you find that many times they admit that certain teachings, they cannot prove that the apostles ever said that. But they still believe it because the church has taught it for so many years. So when they're talking about tradition, they are talking about teachings that are different from the Bible. They're not in the Bible. But because the church has taught them and practiced them for a number of years, they become authority and they must be followed. That's the concept of tradition, as often believed in the religious world today. That is what we mean when we talk about human tradition. Divine tradition is God's teachings revealed in the Scriptures. Human tradition is traditions of men. Men made it up, but it's different from the Bible. Now let's look at what the Bible says about that. If you go to the Scripture reading this morning in Mark chapter 7, we have this lengthy discussion about tradition, in which Jesus is talking to the Jews about their traditions and all these different rules it talked about, how that they wash their hands and all these different rules about washing of pots and all these different kinds of things. But notice it says they'd received the traditions from the fathers. Verse 3. Verse 5, I'm not going to read it again, not all of it at least. But the traditions that they're talking about are the traditions of the elders. Not divine tradition, you see. Not God's tradition. Not divine authority. Human authority. Practices that men invented and handed down for generations. And so these people came to think that you have to do it that way. And so Jesus proceeds to discuss and rebuke them because their traditions contradicted the Word of God. He said, for example, that God's Word says you must care for your elderly parents, but you have a tradition that if you make a donation to the temple, you don't have to take care of your parents. And so you free yourself from a divine command because of human tradition. And then the washing of hands thing, he talks some more about different things they washed. Here they were binding or requiring it as a religious act, something that God never did require. So they freed people from doing what God did require. They required the people what God didn't require. All on the basis of appeal to the tradition of the elders. Human tradition. Not divine tradition. Human tradition. And so Jesus rebuked them for that. And notice some things he said. In verse 8 he says that they lay aside the commandment of God to hold the tradition of men. See the difference? The tradition of men were human ideas different from the commands of God. So this isn't divine tradition. This is human tradition. Different from the commandments of God. Or in verse 9, he says again, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Not God's tradition. Your tradition. So again, see the contrast between God's commands and man's tradition. Divine authority versus human authority. Divine tradition versus human tradition. And so then down to verse 13. He says, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down. And many such things you do. So the problem was not simply the fact that they were following tradition. That wasn't the problem. The problem was the traditions they followed were human in origin, not divine, and that they differed from the things that God had taught them. Now today we know the Bible reveals everything that God has ordained. So any practice today that's different from the Bible must be a human tradition, a human authority, a human doctrine. Anything different from the Bible must be that. It must be what he describes in verse 7. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And that's the problem. Now we've talked about that many times, haven't we, in authority in general. The problem of human authority versus divine authority. That we must follow what God says, not what men have invented, different from what God said. That's the principle we need to understand with regard to tradition. Same concept exactly. Now look in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. According to the basic principles of this world and not according to Christ. See it again? The problem that we need to beware of, that we need to be on guard for, is philosophies that are according to the traditions of men, not according to Christ. That's the problem. The problem is not tradition as such. The problem is human traditions that differ from what Christ says. Man's traditions compared to God's traditions. Such teachings as that are not only not authority for our practice, but they need to be rejected. Watch out for them. Well, look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. The blood of Christ redeemed us from the aimless conduct that we receive by tradition from men. The fact an act has long been practiced doesn't mean we should reject it. That's not a valid reason to not practice it. The question is, what's the origin of the practice? If it does not agree with the Word of God, then it leads to aimless conduct. Conduct that is not pleasing, that doesn't lead to the goal of eternal life. And that's what we need to be redeemed from. Don't follow it. That's the kind of thing we need to be forgiven of by the blood of Christ. So whether a teaching should be followed or not, and here's the bottom line about tradition. Whether a teaching should be followed or not has nothing to do with how old it is. That isn't the issue. It doesn't have anything to do with how long people have practiced it. It has everything to do with the source of the teaching. Tradition is not inherently good or bad. It's not inherently right or wrong, any more than doctrine is inherently good or bad. Practice is inherently good or bad. There are true doctrines and there are false doctrines. There are true practices and there's false practices. There's true traditions and there's false traditions. A person who says, well, I'm opposed to tradition. That's like saying, I'm opposed to doctrine. I'm opposed to practice. Don't we need to know what practice we're talking about? And what the authority, where that practice came from? On the other person says, I'm in favor of tradition. I believe in tradition. Isn't that like saying, I believe in practice. I believe in doctrine. Don't we need to know what doctrine, what practice we're talking about, and who originated it, whose will it is? Christians, of all people, are traditional. We are practicing traditions revealed by God almost 2,000 years ago and handed down through all those centuries to today. And virtually everything about the foundation, the basis of what we practice is tradition. Revealed by God and brought down through the years to us in the Bible. The issue is not tradition per se. The issue is human tradition versus divine tradition. As Christians, we follow what God revealed, not what men have revealed, different from what he said. Now tonight, I want to make some applications. We'll come back and we'll talk about some specifics and make applications of this distinction between human and divine tradition. So you come back tonight and we'll continue. Is your life based on God's traditions or man's traditions? The will of God, the will of man? It's based on one or the other, religiously. Which is it? If you haven't become a Christian, you need to obey what God says in His Word. If you've done that and you're following man's teaching rather than God's, you need to correct your life. Whatever you need, if there's something in your life you need to make right and you need our help, why don't you come and make it known as we stand and as we sing.
Jesus will receive the